I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and with me.
I'd love to.
Thank you. With me, as always, is Merritt Larwood.
Hello there. And speaking before he's been introduced.
Yeah, very rude.
You might know him as the face of Grindr. It's Simon Fielder.
Can I speak now?
Yeah, you can speak.
You can talk now.
Thanks very much. Sorry for talking before it started.
That's quite all right. Sorry for screwing up your introduction. I mean, you now can't use this in your showreel, which I know is your principal reason for being here.
In that case, I'm going to go.
Yeah, sure, fair enough.
Also, can I just asterisk and say it's not actually Grindr.
What are you the face of?
It's Man World.
Man World.
Well,
it's like Carpet World, isn't it? It's an offshoot of Carpet World.
Yeah. By the by, we're here to talk about film.
Oh, okay.
Not about advertising.
That's right.
Well, you missold me on this entire podcast.
Well, it's only in part about advertising, and we do like to take a sort of intellectual property bent on movies. And
Bent.
Well done. Jumping on that and turning it to comedy gold.
I'm so sorry. Can we just start again and horrifically offensive overtones to
no,
any
we
of this?
We can't.
No.
We can never start again.
Oh, God.
Once you've started with Whiz Me, there's no going back. So, movie films.
This is the last time we get a guest on. It's gone.
Definitely.
Normally, it's just me and David.
We've forgotten how to talk to human beings, haven't we?
my coffee's still here, Brit.
Yeah, Merrick's still unwell. He will. I hope you don't die. Can I say that? Is that all right?
Well, you can say if you mean it.
I mean it. I really hope you don't die.
Simon, what about you?
I'm sort of indifferent.
Why?
I'm on the fence.
Why?
Well, mainly because you keep casting aspersions on my sexuality and being quite unpleasant to me.
No, I said you were the face of Grindr. Doesn't mean you like to indulge in the activities of it.
It's a fallacy.
And if you did...
I dangled that out there to see if anyone wanted to jump on it.
Yeah.
And I'm just keep doing it.
You're like a one-man carry-on film. Right.
I'm so sorry.
It's quite right. Simon's brought in a film for us, which we'll talk about in the second half. Which is very exciting. But first off,
let's just do talking ourselves, because whenever Simon gets involved, this podcast goes downhill.
On a man.
Yeah, right. It goes right up the shitter.
Right. First off, something that's got nothing to do with Marek's bombing man fixation is I have news for you, Merrick.
Uh-oh, I've been fired.
No, I have...
This is the last ever podcast.
You need to be paid to be fired. I have leapt ahead in my IMDb 250 game.
What?
I have seen the original Psycho.
So for those of you who don't know, we're playing a game where if you go to IMDb, you go to the bottom, there's the top 250 films, you scroll through those films until you find one you haven't seen. That is your IMDb score.
Have you heard of this game, Simon? Have you
made that
question? Vaguely familiar. I am going to...
Do you know what your score is?
I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
That I... How do you score it? Do you say the number?
The number okay. of the first oh. film. We'll go down now. So
okay, I'm gonna before I look.
Yeah. What do you?
I'm gonna say 3 because okay. if one is Citizen Kane,
it's not up there. You know,
no, really,
it's not up there. No. So okay,
oh god, in that case, I could even go 1 because there's a few classics.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, seen.
Godfather.
No.
Two! Yeah,
was incredible!
You've not seen The Godfather.
No, it's so bad,
wow.
isn't it?
No, I mean, it's fine. But
I actually have it on DVD in my house.
It's a good film.
It's just very difficult to go
that?
Because it's really long,
It is quite long.
I would love to, yeah, I'm going to watch it.
It's got some good clarinet at the beginning to get you hooked.
Well, you know I love woodwind.
Yeah, yeah. They play Pop Goes the Weasel.
Perfect. I think the first 10 minutes of The Godfather was really boring.
Oh.
Really? It's got Pop Goes the Weasel.
But it's...
I really like that bit.
It's a long film. You've got 3 hours.
Yeah, I have got 3 hours.
Mine is still... I've seen the first half of City Lights. Chaplin's Where I Fall Down. So I think mine's 31, 33, and I've got another Chaplin.
Wow.
Then I go all the way back to Lawrence Arabia, number
90. I've seen, I don't know if we talked about it, I've seen Interstellar now as well, so I've jumped ahead on
what
that.
What number are you on?
That's a good point. I've not looked.
You're winning the IMDb game.
I don't think I am, because there's something you've seen that you talked about on Film Fandango before that I still have yet to watch. I'm all the way down here, but let's keep going. Oh. Psycho, City Lights I've seen, Rear Window. Intouchables, it was called in this country, but Untouchable is what it's called at number 38.
Yes, but you're ahead of me.
It's a French film.
I've not seen that either.
Absolutely brilliant.
I think there's probably some in the top 10 I've not even seen. This
no one cares.
Genuine concern.
No one cares.
Godfather 2 is number 3. I haven't seen that either.
12 Angry Men.
I haven't seen 12 Angry Men.
Schindler's List.
Yes.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, The Return of the
How
King.
How is that up there?
How is that higher than the other Lord of the Rings?
But yes, I have seen it.
And then Fight Club, number 10.
Yes, Fight Club. Okay.
Yeah, so you just need to get over
need
that.
Need to bang out the
Godfather hump. Yeah.
I think you might be the wrong guest for this podcast.
Yeah, sorry about that. Who books people for this?
Well, you asked, to be on it. You went out of your way to go on be on this.
I mean, I almost feel like neither of you remember that I've been on it before, which has hurt
you
me the most.
You came on it.
Okay, good.
What did you bring in though? Remind us.
Punching the Clown.
That's
it was
right.
Really good. That
it was really good
from a stand-up.
Yeah. I'm hoping that I'll be able to bring it back in the second half of the podcast when it turns out you both really enjoy the other round.
Yeah. And the guy, well, the guy who actually made the film. Punching the Clown tweeted us to say thank you.
He did, didn't he?
He did, yes, so well done.
So
really good independent film.
Actually, if anything, there's quite a lot of weight on me to bring another sort of heavyweight contender who then gets in touch with the film.
Well, we'll find out what it's going to be shortly.
In a moment. Can I go back to the fact I've seen Psycho?
Yeah, this is
I'd only seen
the remake of Psycho.
Well, that's the best way round to do it, isn't it, I think?
Probably. I mean, that way Vince Vaughn is a revelation.
Uh-huh.
What did
you think?
It doesn't need saying it is a superior version. It's brilliant. Anthony Perkins' performance.
Amazing.
Is fantastic. From what I've read, it dogged the rest of his career because it's such a good performance and story, obviously. We don't need to go into Psycho at depth because, you know, everyone apart from me apparently had seen it. But I want to talk about my favourite scene of the whole thing. The entirely superfluous... Italian-American detective at the end who
falling
explains,
downstairs?
No, who explains
oh,
to everyone brilliant. What's just happened.
Okay, yeah.
The psychologist, the psychiatrist, where they've just found out her spoilers, they've just found out her sister's definitely been killed. And he decides, oh yeah, she's dead. But let me tell you about the internal psychology of her killer. You'll want to know about that, right? And it's the most callous scene I've ever seen in a movie.
It's quite odd, because in your head before you watch it, you've got... Because famously, Janet Leigh gets killed in the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
But in your head, you sort of think, oh, actually, most of the film, the detective investigating it in the next hour.
Yeah.
So when you watch it, it's quite a surprise. It's one of those films that anyone going into it, it's so famous, will know. There's no surprise now. For
You're
anyone.
Waiting for the shower scene you watch it, you know, these days. It's sort of, it's become, the shower scene in Psycho, more than any of the other moments in it, I think, have sort of become bigger than the film.
Yeah.
Where it's now so parodied and it's part of our cultural lexicon, you know, that you could just, if you just throw in some images from that, like the sink, the plug hole and the plug or whatever, and everyone goes, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
To the extent that I can barely remember what happens in the rest of the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from, like, his grandmother's dead?
Well, no, well...
Well, the imagery, it's him the dressed imagery, up. I'm really baby.
The imagery's weird. The imagery of the house and him with the owl and the reception.
But you do forget that it starts out being about a woman who works in a bank embezzling money.
That's right.
Having an affair.
Yeah, yeah. It's a brilliant film. It's a brilliant film. But, as I say, if you watch it again, the psychiatrist at the end who's just explaining what a split personality is to people. So,
is that in the remake?
No. Oh, yes, it is. Oh. I think
it's shot for shot.
Oh, of course it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing about doing the IMDb game is that the films you watch gradually will get slightly worse as you go down.
It's a great. Yeah.
If anything, you should do the other start at 100 and go
250.
Down,
right? 250. Yeah. 250. Oh, that's a lot. No, it is a lot. But no, I'm enjoying the game. I'm enjoying the game. But you can vouch for Untouchable or whatever it's called.
It's called different things. According to
Untouchable.
Yeah, it's a film about a guy who's disabled and he's looking for someone. He's in a wheelchair bound, and he's looking for someone to look after him. And he has a succession of really, really boring people who are just going to nurse him. He wants to sort of live his life in exciting. It's based on a true story.
Right.
So he, as a carer, he hires this sort of a big black sort of street guy who wants to have fun and do these crazy things.
Street guy?
Street guy. I don't know what you mean, but you know, from a sort of... Yeah, street guy.
Okay,
sure. That's going to be acceptable, street guy. But it's, I think the performances are brilliant.
Okay. I'd like to suggest really another game, which is how many minutes into that film I am weeping. And I'm going to say probably 17 minutes in.
Really?
By the sounds of
Are you a big cry? I cry a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't seen this film?
I have not seen it. I reckon I'd cry at the trailer of it, easy.
I cry at anything.
Yeah. Literally, I cry sometimes at a good advert, a good trailer.
An advert?
Not an advert. Trailers. That's the idea, though, isn't it? They manipulate you.
I've not cried in years, guys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, is that bad?
Mm. Well, I suppose it gives this podcast a bit of gravitas, and maybe that we could go on a journey, and then at the end...
Yeah. We could all have a cry together.
I could try and put a scene in The Bumming Man, which is an ongoing film that I've been talking about.
Merrick's, it's in development.
Okay.
Merrick's.
It's in development hell.
It's made specifically to make you cry.
Wow.
But why are you crying? Is it an ambiguous cry? Is it...
I start bawling at E.T. You would think... I mean, if you listen to this podcast, I may come across as a bit of an arsehole.
What?
An insensitive arsehole.
I'm looking forward to the day that all 203 episodes of Film Fandango, or however many we get to, have to be listened to by a jury as evidence for whether you did have a mental breakdown and murder a man. I'm looking.
You
for
really think this will be submissible as evidence?
Of course, you know.
Especially if you bum a man to death.
Or what about if all our listeners are just paid for by the government? Because I'm on some threat list, and they're not actually legitimate listeners. They're people listening, thinking, right, just listen to what state he's in. When's he going to go off?
What's the name of the American organisation that listens in on everything? I wanted to say NWA, but that's wrong. Yeah, NSA. Yeah. You're saying all of our listeners are NSA agents.
I'm saying about maybe 70 or 80.
Everyone but Chris Webb.
If you say things like Al-Qaeda, bomb, stuff like that, keywords that come up.
You basically cost the American taxpayer millions.
I'm going to say overthrow government. Yeah. Words like this... kill president.
I don't want to be looped into this thing.
Yeah, but there's going to be some things scanning for these words. Oh, I've just said all the key words, and if our listenership goes up by 1,000,
do they scan podcasts?
I bet they've got equipment.
I mean, I want to go no, but
just in case, Camoden Mayo is actually an Al Qaeda cell.
I mean, yeah.
We'll see. If this podcast has got a lot of extra listeners, I've just said all the keywords. Other keywords.
Maybe it will be your last podcast, but you'll just disappear.
Yeah, Merrick's not here this week, listeners.
You'll be it'll be rendition.
But Agent Johnson is here, weirdly, to fill in for him.
Well, make a nice change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to talk.
Less bumming, probably.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about some films you've seen, Merrick, before we get on to some.
Well, I was going to talk about this. I went back to the Isle of Wight recently to see my nan. Who said who's very lonely because she was married to my granddad for over 70 years.
Blimey.
And wow.
What's that anniversary, 70?
I don't know what it is.
Just probably
depressing one.
Depressing one.
Sand?
I think it's Blue Vein anniversary.
Oh.
It's Black Hole.
Yeah. And he died at the start of the year, so my nan's quite lonely.
Oh.
And she was saying that she finds it really hard to find films she likes. They're all but violent. And they're all got swearing in them.
What my granddad had a problem with modern movies, and by modern movies I mean Jurassic Park, was the noise. How noisy the soundtracks are.
Getting Fast and Furious.
Well, he's dead now, so there's no point.
Oh, okay.
But, it is a different era, isn't it? Where it was all a bit more gentle and...
Yeah.
The camera could have sat back and just let it happen, like you were watching a play, really, in a lot of ways.
Sounds like Intouchable would be a great for Nan.
She might,
or maybe two. Maybe could no, be too it's, close it's, to home.
It's French.
Subtitles.
And her eyesight's getting bad. She doesn't read the whole way through.
So what have you suggested?
Well, I bought 7 films I took back with me.
Nice.
Okay.
One I hadn't seen. I saw Cast Away because I bought Tom Hanks the same thing. It's pretty rubbish. Fine. It's basically a FedEx advert.
Right.
Have you seen it?
No.
Yes, I saw it in the
it
cinema.
It has got some of the most incredible product placement of FedEx I've ever seen in my entire life. It's just a... It's a long, so that was rubbish. But the rest I've got with comedies.
Did she like it?
She hadn't seen that one yet. Oh. We watched... I went for Steve Martin's A Safe Choice. So I got Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes.
Roxanne.
Classic.
And I also got Groundhog Day.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
I got The Shawshank Redemption, even though it is quite... But I think it's quite a hopeful film.
Mm-hmm. It's got bum rape in it, though. Hasn't it? I mean, that's not really grounds, is it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she won't pass. But we watched... So I was trying to work out what films are safe for grabs. We watched Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. It's brilliant, that film.
Yeah, it's great.
Michael Caine and Steve Martin. It's really nice to see. I mean, there's one point where he puts on a Glover's Rupprecht and oils up as if he's going to do something to himself. That was one point I thought, oh, I couldn't remember that bit.
Where you were just like, nice
cup of tea, Graham. They've seen it all. She's been lived with a war.
Yeah, that's true.
It must have been
all sorts of fingers up bomb holes.
Stopping bombing. The bombs getting in there.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than a bomb lands
directly inside your sphincter.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah. Well, at least you'd be protecting the neighbours.
There's still people with unexploded devices, aren't there?
That's why St. Paul's never got hit, because loads of people lay on top of it
and they
with their pants and trousers.
Have you seen the film Man on Fire?
Yep.
Because it's a pretty standard... I enjoyed it too. It's a pretty standard Denzel Washington is the bodyguard of a young girl who gets kidnapped. Apart from this one scene that is totally, completely different to the rest of the film. And I've since read up and found it was actually from another screenplay that didn't get greenlit and they just cut and paste it. But where he puts a bomb up a man's ass.
Oh, yeah!
In order to get information out of him. So this guy is over a bonnet of his car with his pants around his ankles, and apparently he's put an anal bomb up it.
I mean, that's what they made a bomb, especially a bomb special...
A bum bomb.
But surely if you're holding a bomb anyway, it's just going to get... You're going to blow up. You don't need to specify.
Well, exactly. A really tiny bomb.
But all that says as a story beat to me is... This guy's got a thing about bombs, hasn't he? I mean, there's no need to threaten a man by putting a bomb up his bomb.
No.
And he sets it off as well after he's got the information out of him.
Well, that's quite good to know, because I won't do that in The Bombing Man. I won't put that in.
Yeah.
That's been done, and it's been done by Denzel, so it's not going to be done any better.
And there's an episode of South Park where I think it's Hillary Clinton has a snook in her snooze. So that's been done as well.
Oh. Okay. Everything's been done.
It's all been done. Bombs in every hole.
Literally every hole's been got done.
With a bomb.
Well, on that note, let's read some letters out.
Oh.
Well, yeah. But before we do, has any suggestions for films for Marek's Gran,
yes,
or all the Grans, then why not email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, as these people have done.
And it's light-hearted comedies that people who are depressed want to watch with not too much wearing it.
I've found the older generation usually goes for dancing. They quite like dancing, don't they? Not modern, sexy dancing, but, you know.
She's seen all the black and white ones. Yeah, Strictly Ballroom is a
good
film.
She like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Yeah, we had a really good laugh over
it.
Oh,
good.
Oh, that's good.
It's just brilliant. It's just funny.
Mm. Yeah.
That bit when he comes in as Doctor, what's his name, and Rupprecht's and can't fit his legs and he's whipping it. Very funny. I really enjoyed it. Nick Gatfield's written in. He doesn't suggest a voice. Dear American David, just thought you should share my joy at two of my favourite podcasts crossing over just now when Henning Vane heavily plugged Wolfsburg throughout his appearance on BBC's Fighting Talk.
Wow.
Prior to this, I only thought Wolfsburg only existed in Film Fandango world. To find out that gives me real hope that one day that The Bumming Man would also be realised. Keep bumming the Wolfsburgs. This is a reference to Wolfsburg, which is a sport I created and have put a lot of my savings into, which about 30 people play in the field in North London, including David
and Simon.
And Simon plays for my team, the great Muswell Hill Supermoons, who are on a 5-game losing streak. But Simon had a great debut, and since then he's not really played that.
Pulled it together since then, unfortunately.
If you want to find out about Vauxhall, go to Vauxhall.com, buy a t-shirt to save me from losing all my money.
It's a great sport, which I suspect, given that it's now autumn, will be kind of under the radar until the sun comes back out.
I worry about that, because there's a lot of lateral movement, isn't there, and a wet pitch could really be an ankle breaker.
The season's pretty much over, but next year I will be doing the World Championships.
I'm the Camden Kongs, my team, are already in hardcore training sessions on a daily basis until next season, so we are going to be ripped.
Maybe we can find an indoor training academy and or go to Florida to train.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor Film Fandango or Wolfsball, please contact us. I mean, I just need money. David Reid, brother John Reid, is in contention for player of the season.
He's very good, my brother.
Isn't he?
Yeah, tall as well.
Anyway, let's just. This is not talk about sport, it's to talk about bloody films.
Yes.
Fran Jolly's written in. Do you want to.
I'll read Fran Jolly's email. What does she want?
Oh, it's he. And he's written. He mentioned.
Oh, he, sorry.
Everyone seems to be banging on about Wolfsburg today. Well, including me.
Fran, sorry for assuming you're a lady, Fran Jolly.
Fran's written in quite a few times.
I've always assumed he was a lady. Why did you never tell me before? There's a little photo of him here.
Yeah.
Okay. Please read in a Pee Wee Herman voice. I've never seen Pee Wee's Big Adventure. What's he sound like?
Paedophile.
I think he's... Because of this kind of voice.
Hey! Like Kermit the Frog on drugs.
Kermit the Frog who masturbated once in the back of cinema.
Kermit's wanking in a cinema, yeah.
I won't be in films for a while. Hello. Congratulations on being 200.
Slightly late all week, but it was about two weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. I did write in before about Wolfsball, but alas, not used, frowny face. So, I shall try again, as you keep saying that the inbox is bare.
He's turned into the guy from in...
It's Frank Oz, I think.
No, it's the guy who was always in that in Police Academy.
He used to be like...
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat Goldthwait, yeah, yeah. Director of World's Greatest Dad.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Ha ha!
That's the bucket.
Okay.
Back to Pee Wee Herman.
And the best part is this: I could listen to this voice for hours.
Most people have stopped listening by now. It's fine.
Now for a book on tape.
Now it's Chris. That sounded like Christopher Walken.
It's going all over the place. It's sort of Fuzzy Bear at the same time. Okay. There is a lot of talk about Inside Out being the first animation to win Best Film at the next year's Oscars. So it got me thinking, which Oscar-winning movies would it be better off as animation? Or what animations would it be better off as live-action picture? Hayao Miyazaki films are always critically acclaimed masterpieces, but would they just be an eye-melting mental mess if they were live-action affairs? When the Wind Blows would be my shout-out for a live-action version. And I think we would all like to see an animated version of 50 Shades of Grey. Sorry, I was just being a silly Billy. No, I would pick an animated version of Slumdog Millionaire. It would allow for more visual flights of fancy and some Bollywood songs. Recent films that you should see are Me and Earl and the Dying Girl and the Canon documentary... Electric Boogaloo. Both get 8 Fran stars. All the best, Francis Jolly.
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
Good Lord.
I think When the Wind Blows would not be a good live-action film.
There's something
Innocent. They're so innocent, those characters.
Yeah, there's something quite beautiful when you do a very realistic animated film, isn't there?
Is that the war one?
We didn't think it was brilliant, but I think it may have been the version we watched. But Grave of the Fireflies, again, is one where it could all be done, but if it was child actors, it wouldn't be as good. I prefer animation to CGI, which is how most of these things would have to be done.
Yeah.
So,
I much prefer watching
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, but that Batman the cartoon, I quite like the way that.
Oh, it's the best version of Batman, in my opinion. The animated series.
Yeah, but I think I hate superhero films, or any superhero film would be better if it was a good cartoon.
You know who plays the Joker in Batman, the animated
series?
Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yes!
Luke Skywalker himself.
And so, they're doing the Killing Joke. Is it the Killing Joke?
Which yeah.
The comic is so beautiful.
Got it over there.
Oh, it took him about 7 years for me to do, didn't it? A ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that will be... I'd like to see an animated version of that comic sort of brought to life.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Yes. But, yeah, things like the Asterix movies with Gerard Depardieu as Obelix and stuff. It's all a bit weird because they don't know how to dress them up because they look like they're dressed as cartoons rather than this is a world you can believe in. I don't know.
And the Flintstones was awful as well. I hated that.
Would you want to see a live-action Toy Story with Tom Hanks and what's his name? Tim Allen.
No, done.
Weird, wouldn't it?
Really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird with them.
That's probably on the. Where's that on IMDb 250 Toy Story?
Oh, it's got to be high.
I haven't seen that either.
I think you haven't seen Toy Story.
I know. It's not in the top. It's surprisingly low. I think it's in late 100s.
Okay.
Is that right?
What's your score on it, by the way?
33. City Lights. I said that.
I've seen City Lights now,
and then I've just needed to watch another Chaplin.
City Lights has dropped to 36, so you are 36. On 36.
Lawrence of Arabia after that. I've never seen it.
I haven't seen that either.
It's great. It's a beautiful film. Yeah.
Should we read one more letter then before we...
Well, we've got a game to play as well, so...
Oh, we've got letters.
Okay, read the letter and then we'll play games.
Okay. Let's... Bad films with good backstories. Is a pirate accent. We've done it.
Okay.
This is from Ivan Jeery. It's a good name, isn't it?
It is a good name.
Hello, David. Hello, David, American buddy. I'm from Devon, so please can you read this in your best pirate accent? I noticed in your accent to Norfolk. I noticed in your accent 200th edition of the podcast you mentioned both Kevin Smith and Haley Joel Osment. This in your discussion about the aborted Burton K. Superman movie set me thinking about a Smith and Osment recently made together, should be a film there, called Tusk. To be honest, it isn't a great film, but it had a very interesting gestation. In one of the many podcasts he does, Kevin Smith was talking about an advert he'd seen on Gumtree, where someone was looking for a flatmate. And one of the stipulations was the flatmate would have to dress as a walrus for an hour a day to remind the landlord of a walrus he'd befriended when shipwrecked. It's hurting my voice and go normal.
Okay.
It turns out the advert was a hoax, but Smith was taken with the idea and so asked his Twitter followers if they thought he should make a film of it. They said...
Yes.
So he wrote a script, raised some funding, and then made the film within a few months. That was my mistake. If only it was always that easy, eh, Merrick? Then we'd have the Bumming Man to look forward to soon. Everyone's talking about it this week.
I mean, there's a lot of buzz around the Bumming Man.
I think a Kickstarter campaign now would be well-timed.
Really?
As I say, the film isn't brilliant. I give it 4 Ivans. But I was fascinated to see it because it was born out of a chat on a podcast and the filmmaker not letting go of this idea go. So can you think of any other movies that are interesting to watch? Not because they're good, but because how and why they were made.
Hmm.
You're watching the films Ivan Jeery.
How and why they were made.
This question probably takes a bit of research and thought rather than just
sort of winging it live.
I'm trying to think of any sort of fun stories around films at all, and I'm struggling.
I suppose there are all those like production crises stories and things where like, oh yeah, that would have been better. I'm trying to think of a good, like, oh, for example, like Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yes,
probably my least favourite of the first 4.
Well, it was Lethal Weapon 4 that they then just changed the title on.
Originally it was a film called Simon Says.
Right,
that was repurposed as a Die Hard film.
But it was going to be Lethal Weapon 4 between those two stages.
Really?
Which is why it's a buddy movie between a white guy and a black guy.
And then when
they rewrote it to be Die Hard 3, they wrote Samuel L. Jackson into the opening 20 minutes.
Right.
Things
like that make me go, I wish it had just been a film called Simon Says and not derailed the Die Hard franchise.
It's a bit high concept for Die Hard almost, isn't it?
It just sort of takes the essence of Die Hard and sort of just pisses it into the wind, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's meant to be a guy in an enclosed space, and suddenly it's like...
sprawling.
Now he's in all of New York, and it's just an action movie.
The two bubbling liquids of... two brightly coloured liquids that mix to form a bomb...
Oh, yeah.
...doesn't feel Die Hard. No. That feels a bit too camp to me.
But I enjoyed it, so there.
Oh, it's a fun film, but it's not quite Die Hard.
Well, since Die Hard 4 and 5 have come out, it's gone up in the...
Oh, it's the Die Hard ranking. It's the third best.
Die Hard, exactly. Die Hard 4, point whatever it is.
0.5.
Or is it 5?
There's 5 as well.
4.0 is horrific.
And then Live Free and Die Hard is worse.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I haven't seen 5. Even though there's every time I go on Netflix and sort of see it, I'm like, oh, you know, Die Hard. And then I look at the reviews and go,
you see that you're
going to waste the
time. Hang on a minute, you're going on Netflix when you've got the Godfather on DVD.
I think the Godfather's even on Netflix, to be honest.
You're a prick, mate.
Thanks ever so much for having me, as ever.
Right, here we go.
Right, we're going to play the casting game now. It's been a while.
Do I take my trousers off?
That's right, the casting couch game. Now, you've brought some ID, haven't you, with you?
Yeah, I've got the glove rating and the lube, and I've got the bomb already in.
Great.
It's really bum heavy, this podcast.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? What is that smell?
It's Marek.
The casting game. We mentioned last week, very briefly, in discussion of John Wick...
I liked that film.
Marek hated it, so that's we don't want to get back onto Marek's hate.
Listen to last week's episode, and you'll realise why you're completely wrong.
Okay,
and your opinion
is it fun? To be honest, I went in with quite high expectations because I'd heard it was an excellent action film, and I think my expectations were almost a little bit too high.
Okay,
it definitely delivered and was enjoyable.
There
it's
you
a
go.
3.5 star movie, probably.
It's I think it's a 2-star movie. It's like a cartoon.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Well, I might watch
it. I think we'd both say the same things about it, but our ultimate ratings would be different.
I'm a huge action film fan. Anyway, we mentioned briefly Bill and Ted and Keanu Reeves, how he started out. We're going to do the casting game for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So, it's our new versions of... Bill S. Preston Esquire, Ted Theodore Logan, and otherwise known as Wild Stallions, and Rufus, their time travelling mentor.
San Dimas High School football rules.
That's right, damn right they rule. Okay, Marek, I've no idea what I'm going to say, so why don't you go first on Bill S. Preston Esquire?
Can we do Rufus first?
Rufus, okay, fine, Rufus.
So, originally played. By George Carlin.
George Carlin, the fantastic George
R.I.P.
Carlin. He brought a sort of wit and intelligence to it, didn't he? That was just sort of America's Doctor Who, shall we say.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Who weirdly travels through time in a different phone box.
That's true. The parallels.
Yeah. So.
Who am I going to go for?
Yeah, for Rufus.
I'm going to go for an actor. I'm going to go for a good actor who I've not really seen do a comedy role, really, who I'd like to.
Yes.
One of the greatest actors of the generation, I think. Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow, that is an edgy Rufus.
It'd be really good to him doing a comedy thing.
He probably would be good, actually.
He did a comedy thing in Inherent Vice, but nobody watched it.
Yeah,
I did not see that.
That's quite... I think he could do anything. He can do anything.
Well,
he's versatile.
I'm going to go for someone who is now an older generation comic... which George Carlin was at the time. So you've got that glint in the eye that keeps it all... It's all going to be fine. We're not going to go down the time-travelling, you've killed your own mother route. I'm going to go with Bill Murray.
Well, that's almost like playing the Joker, isn't it?
You can play it once a year.
Because he wouldn't do it.
No. Well, you never know, do you?
You never know.
You ring him up, you leave a message on his answer phone,
right, or you
whatever.
Put something in his P.O. box,
right.
And that's it.
You throw the bottle with the note in it into the Pacific and hope.
Okay.
I mean, you can't drop the B.U.M. bomb. Because that just wins everything, doesn't it?
Are you adding a new rule to this game, that Bill Murray is a no-go zone?
I can't add rules to your game, guys, but I feel like Bill Murray is almost the... he's so adored that everyone would say, yeah.
So be brave, be the one person that's different.
Are you going to be the man who says no to Bill Murray?
No, I love Bill Murray.
So what are you going to say, then?
I mean, I think Bill Murray would be good as that role. But equally, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is a great actor and probably could bring a lightness of touch to it. And yeah, but it's Bill Murray and he's older, so let's use him up while he's still here.
Right, it's Bill Murray. Okay. Right. Okay, so...
But I do think you used a cheat code on that.
Okay, I take that on board. In my defence, I've not used Bill Murray before.
Okay.
In over 200 episodes.
But if you say Bill Murray for both of the other roles as well, I might have to take Bill issue Murray. With it.
Ted. We're going for Ted next then.
Ted Theodore Logan, who was originally played by Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one I have no idea of who I'm picking. How young do you think we have to go with
Bill? Oh, I've actually just had a great idea.
Oh. Wait, you're not playing.
No, that's interesting though, that someone's clicked in mind.
Yeah, someone has clicked in.
Do you want me to do mine first?
Yeah, do, because I'm not going to beat you, because I'm drawing a complete blank on this one.
Chris Hemsworth.
Not bad, yeah.
Chris Hemsworth?
We've all thought... Thor. It's just the... Yeah, yeah. Everyone's thought of someone with, like, longish hair.
Chris Hemsworth can play the stoner, but he could play that...
He would be all right, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Sort of surfer dude.
He's quite a bigger guy, the bigger sort of...
Okay, well, I don't think I'm going to win this one, but I've thought of somebody who I think can do this role. This is sort of what he's been doing in
You're going to say Channing Tatum.
No.
I was thinking of Channing Tatum as well, actually. That wasn't
bit
who
too
I...
buff yeah, for those well, guys. I mean, they're losers in a garage, you know? I'm going to go for James Franco.
Yeah, that's nice, actually. Although, equally, he could play Tother.
Tother. He could.
He's just sort of interchangeable. That's a tough one because I do think that Hemsworth is a bit too lunky, you know? I watched Black Hat recently where he was a hacker and it was like, come on.
Ted is the more surfer dude of the two.
Yes, I would say so. That's the thing, they're so young and lanky, aren't they?
Come on, hurry up, mate.
I'm going to give it to Larwood on this one.
Yes.
And I'm going to float who just popped into my head.
Yes.
Again, maybe a little bit too Adonis-like. Taylor Kirsch.
Don't know who Taylor Kirsch is.
He's from Friday Night Lights.
Ah.
And more recently, season 2 of True Detective.
How do you spell Kirsch?
John Carter, he was in that.
Yes. Oh, wow.
How do you spell Kirsch?
K-I-T-S-C-H.
Kitsch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That guy. He is very handsome, though.
He's very handsome and ripped, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's quite sort of... I could see him being quite stonery because he's quite dudey in Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Have you not watched Friday Night Lights?
I still haven't watched Friday Night Lights.
Let's go for Bill. You can go first.
Okay. I'm going for someone based upon seeing him in both Horrible Bosses 2 and Into the Woods, where he was actually brilliantly funny and I was not expecting it at all. Chris Pine.
Too much, that is too buff.
Wild card.
Yeah. Okay. I think these two are very hard to cast.
Yeah.
And I think that is there's a sort of 80s naivety to the performances that everyone's they're a bit straight these days. Our actors, they're not as interesting.
Well, yeah.
Keanu Reeves is more like...
And comedies aren't as wacky.
Yeah, but Keanu's more like Ted than he isn't like Ted. You know what I mean?
What did he do before that? Was he
Parenthood and stuff like that then.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going... So I've got to go soon to work.
Oh.
So I'm speeding this whole game up.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm going for Rupert Grint.
Goodness.
With an American accent.
Wow. Have you ever seen him with an American accent?
I bet he could do it.
Does he do one in Thunderpants?
But he's quite funny. He'd be better than... He's a different look as well.
I've never seen him in anything, unfortunately.
You haven't seen Harry Potter film?
No.
What? Get off this show.
Yeah, this show is all about Harry Potter.
Listen, I recently read Philosopher's Stone for the first time.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite good.
And so you don't even see it, so I've lost. Basically, I've lost.
Chamber of Secrets. Or, ready?
I'll go for Peter Dinklage instead.
I have seen the first three seasons of Game of Thrones, no spoilers, please.
I'm going for Peter Dinklage instead.
I mean,
you've changed your choice. It is a bit of a wild I'm going card. For Bill Murray.
I've got to give it to Murray again.
Yeah!
Oh, that's the end of that stupid guy.
Who are you going for? Who are you going for from the first two choices? Chris Pine or Rupert Grint?
I mean, I've only seen Chris Pine in Star Trek, I think.
You're just going to have to trust me on this. He's very funny.
Who do you want to win, me or David?
That's not what it's about. We should do it blind, really.
I've not seen Rupert Grint in anything. Do you have a backup choice?
No, but I'm right. Rupert Grint is better than Chris Pine for this role.
I definitely agree.
God, I'd be a bad
Chris Pine writer. Has his own hair. He wouldn't need a wig for it.
You don't know.
That's a rubbish end to it, though, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no Bill. He's been cut from the script. Bill's called Ted.
Played by a cartoon character. In keeping with your, you prefer animation to a cell shaded cartoon character
of Alex Winter.
Of Alex Winter, who's voiced by Alex Winter.
Okay. All right, fine. That's done. Listen, you bought filming, right?
Yeah. Oh,
you really have to go. Okay. All right, fine. Yes.
Just gonna motor through this, are we? Okay.
Well, who won that? I don't know.
David, you can win it.
Thank you. Right, so...
Should be nicer to me, mate.
We've asked Simon to bring a film in. Mary looks so pissed off.
For such an angry man, he's very touchy.
Yeah.
What film did you bring in?
What film did you bring in, Simon?
I brought in Noah Baumbach's...
Francis Ha.
Debut.
I hate everything he's done.
Kicking and Screaming.
Kicking and Screaming, 1995.
1995.
Not to be confused with the 2005 Will Ferrell comedy.
Please don't watch that one instead.
I nearly did until I then reread the email.
I did make it very clear.
You did, yeah. You did. Tell us a bit about this film, the synopsis of it, before we get into it.
Okay. I think it's what I'll preface it by saying it's one of my favourite films. And I think it is that because it's a film of a time. The film is about a bunch of guys and girls who've just graduated from a liberal arts college in America. And are sort of in that no man's land where they go from having a purpose in life to not really knowing what they're doing, not having any like goals, don't know how to fill their time. They're still sort of caught up in that sort of studious world of like, you know, being well read and quite clever and broadly intelligent about all the stuff they learn in 4 years of liberal arts college, but still, you know, drinking and shagging and doing all that stuff. And I watched it in my first year of university.
Oh, really?
On VHS, on a portable TV in my dorm room. And it really just like spoke to me in that way where you were just like, oh, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be that. And I definitely, like, talked like it, dressed like it for a while, in the same way that after I watched Swingers, I think that sort of spoke to me in a way where I was like, I want to be that also. This had that sort of... Yes, oh, I wish I was well-read and went to a liberal arts college and wasn't doing media studies at the University of Sunderland.
How do you view it now, though?
Well, I re-watched it this morning.
I watched it this morning.
I've watched it loads of times in the interim. Obviously, I watched it a lot on VHS until that ended, and then it was released on Criterion Collection DVD,
sure.
Which, regardless of what Marek thinks, means it must be a good film. And so I rewatched it a few years ago, and then I rewatched it this morning, and I still love it. I think it has that rose-tintedness to it because it kind of triggers the same emotions that I probably felt when I was 17. Literally, he's 20 years old.
But I find this really interesting because I watched it and I thought it was incredibly accurate of who you are as a young adult at that time, especially.
Yeah.
For a British audience, especially sort of your time at university. And I found that incredibly awkward because they are idiots.
Right.
You know, I didn't find it, maybe it's because I'm now in my 30s, but I didn't find I wanted to emulate it. I felt awkward about my own past.
Right.
Because all of the conversations, and I think it's very knowing in the script and by the director, as the camera passes past conversations in the very first scene, and it carries on through the whole film,
yeah.
You get these snippets of the banal shit that
yes.
everyone's talking about,
yeah.
That they have all the education in the world, but haven't a clue what matters.
Right, and they spend their time like quizzing each other on like naming all the Friday the 13th movies.
It's all about lists.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about lists of things rather than...
But then it's kind of peppered with that pseudo-intellectual chat
yeah.
about, you know, philosophers and like classic literature and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of constantly undermined by like you say, going... Like, what a waste it is that they've spent hundreds of thousands of pounds and now
yeah.
that one of them's working in a video shop and, like...
It's quite refreshing because no one's really... I remember from when I left university, when you're like, what, 21, 22, that awful abyss. It is horrible.
Yeah.
And no one's made films. There's not many films about this at all, but horrible first moment. And when I watched them, I really hated Frances Ha, and I didn't like the one I saw recently about What We Do When We're Adults, or something it was called.
While We're Young.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Squid and the Whale?
Yeah, ages ago. Okay. But I thought his writing annoyed me. This, it started off, and the first 10 minutes I thought, oh, I hate this, all that sort of smug writing. But,
exactly the same
but
for me.
After
but
after it, you
but you realise that's the characters. Yeah, that's the not the author's the voice, really that's the characters. Yeah. And
deliberately.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That whole, like, oh, I've been to Prague. Well, I've never been to Prague, but like I know what that is.
Yeah, and for Americans, that's what Prague is. And it's that entirely self-involved singular perspective of they can't see that maybe Prague exists for people who are from Prague as
rather
than it exists as just sort of like an American cliche of young life. It's a weirdly tragic film that doesn't feel tragic by the end because it's told non-linearly as that they end on a happy beat even though it sort of isn't.
Well, I suppose it has is interspersed by flashbacks, isn't it, to how the main character Grover and his girlfriend meet, and that sort of throughout the film.
It's not Grover from Sesame Street. Just
the Muppets,
just so we can be clear on that.
I don't know if they're related.
I don't know.
It feels really original. The writing, the jokes are really funny. There's loads of really different characters, and so the jokes get better and better once you understand the characters and how they...
Yeah.
And I don't know how old he was when he made this.
He was like 24, maybe.
It's a really clever sort of look at that age.
Yeah, I
find so interesting about Noah Baumbach, who has subsequently made The Squid and the Whale, Margot at the Wedding, Frances Ha, While We're Young, and Mistress America, which is in cinemas now, is that, I guess, you know, he made that when he was in his early 20s, about just leaving college, sort of reflecting on those years. And aside from maybe the middle bit where he kind of like co-wrote the Steve Zissou thing and like some other stuff.
Did he?
Yeah, okay. He sort of worked with what's his face, who did that and the hotel thing. I'm not a huge fan of him. You know who I mean?
Yeah. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Where's Anderson?
Anderson?
Yeah. So those guys are mates, I guess. But like latterly, like Frances Ha, While We're Young, Mistress America are kind of like his commentary now on life. Like While We're Young especially is about some people in their sort of
first 10 minutes was great, then just faded away.
Right.
I'm sort of amazed though that it's that he was that age when writing it, because I think the screenplay is incredibly self-aware.
Yeah,
I mean, that's better without, than his recent stuff.
Spoiling it too much, I mean, the Grover's sort of final beat, actually, which isn't the final beat of the story, of him going to do a grand romantic gesture to fly to Prague and talking to Susan from Friends.
That's right.
after he's talked to his dad, Ross's dad.
That's
Friends.
Correct.
he's not Ross's dad from Friends.
Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould.
Yeah, but
that's his most famous role.
He's in shitloads.
No,
of
he wasn't in MASH, mate.
He wasn't in MASH.
Oh.
That is such a perfectly, I think, written piece about being that age where you get swept up in this wave of emotion and finally you do something, anything, and then a single hurdle gets in your way and you're just like,
reality.
Oh, well, then now, then I won't.
It's so beautifully written, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and then she goes like, you can always go tomorrow.
He could go tomorrow.
Yeah.
He could go tomorrow.
Of course he won't go tomorrow.
But he won't. No. We know he won't. No, I think it's an excellent piece. Absolutely brilliant. I'd never heard of it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's, if anything, I like to bring slightly lesser known obscure films onto this podcast and bring them to the attention of your listeners.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. And one thing you should, I know how to, if you've got, I don't know, is it legal that odor?
Yeah, it's legal. It's on US Netflix. So if you're already adept at watching US Netflix, you'll know. However, Marek was not, and thus I introduced him to the browser plugin Hola, which allows you to basically switch which region your browser is looking at the world from so that you can watch different region of Netflix.
I mean, Film Fandango does not condone or...
yeah, the use of IP address masking software.
It's
so
not illegal.
Yeah.
It's not illegal.
Is it not?
No, it's not illegal.
Okay.
But if you do that, you can watch loads of American Netflix. It's really easy. Yeah,
yeah, it's great.
It's not illegal.
You have to be a member of
you
Netflix.
You are probably breaking the terms and conditions of your contract with Netflix. That's probably what it is.
I can't read.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So therefore, the law does not apply to you.
No.
You bought it off iTunes.
I bought it off iTunes. I didn't know it was on iTunes for £2.30 something. So.
There's also a Criterion Collection DVD. Do you remember DVDs?
I remember Criterion Collection DVDs. Yeah. We had the version of Brazil, which has three copies of the film in it.
Cracking.
As well as a load of extras.
Does it have a branching edition so you can watch the different versions?
No, because they're on different discs because the film is so long.
Hey, before we go.
Yeah.
Simon, you make a lot of really good films on YouTube, which I enjoy. What is your... How have we watched it? How can our listeners watch these?
Thank you, Marek. You could... I suppose the easiest way might be just to go to my website, which is simonfielder.com. Fielder spelled F-E-I-L-D-E-R. Or if you are adept at YouTube, my username is Kid Capricorn.
They're really great. You should watch those. And also watch your Twitter thing as well. I want to do that bollocks.
That's just at Simon Fielder, Twitter, Facebook.
F-E-I-L-D-E-R.
Not the German way.
I before E, except after me.
That's the one. Well, thank you, Simon. Thank you for bringing on...
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for going. It's been a delight. Listeners, if you would like to contribute towards our podcast running costs, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk. It's the only way we can keep it free. And everyone who has done, thank you very much for that. We will be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.